trust in his love. I will trust the Lord, oh my soul.
All right, so as I was praying about how to celebrate today and just honor the Lord by taking some time and saying, hey, this is 7 years we've been together as a church family, lots of different ways we could celebrate. One way that's fun that we're not doing anymore because, and honestly, there's like too much good news. For the first 4 or 5 years, what we used to do is I would ask a number of people in the church family to come and just share a testimony of what God has been doing in their life lately. What has God been doing in their life through the time of the church family? What is a highlight? What's a big thing that's clearly like, this couldn't have happened without God? And what's a really fun thing to see, and that's really the vision of our church, is as we want to be disciples, those learners, we want to grow in having an authentic walk with God, where we're not just going through the motions. This isn't just a religious tradition. It's not, oh, I checked the box and went to church on Sunday. I've done my religious duty. No, we are going hard after a vibrant, living relationship with Jesus. And so it's been really fun, actually, to kind of grow out of that, unfortunately. As much fun as that is, the last time we did it, it was like a two-hour service. And it is unholy to eat tri-tip cold. So we're going to spare you of that this morning. And I'm just going to share a couple different perspectives. As I was praying, I felt like the Lord kind of put on my heart that share two perspectives and a conclusion, if you will. And so we're going to spend time there, and I believe all of it, the idea is to pause, to reflect, to honor God for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he wants to do. So the first perspective, as we look back on our time at Elevation, one thing that just pops out that we've seen as testimonies have often been shared is the incredible truth, the reality of God's presence among us. When we started this church, one of the core foundational beliefs was and is that God is alive. And you think about, you know, the world and what are concepts of God. When people say, oh, I believe in God, or I'm a religious person, or I'm a faith person, or I'm a Christian. And you think about what is the concept of God and what does that actually change about your life? One of those, some of these core convictions for us is, man, we just don't want to go through the motions. We don't want to just kind of be the same old, same old. We want to start a church on that passionate belief that God's alive. And that God is not far off, but he's present right here with us, and he's personal. He cares about what's going on in our life, and he's powerful. He wants to change our life. So these simple convictions that he wants both us individually and corporately to have a true, vibrant, living, and sometimes explosive or eruptive experience of his presence in our life. And I know for many, if not all, we can look back and truly, humbly, but passionately say, wow, God showed up. God was here. God did this. God's presence has undoubtedly been with us. And I think of some of the very early days when we just had about, it was probably 4 or 5 youth that were from the core family. And at that time, as we were starting off and said, oh, man, we believe that God wants to do something in the youth. And so we had about 10 youth leaders, and I was leading the team at the time. And so we joked, all right, we got 5 kids and 10 leaders. Man, these are going to be the best loved youth in the country. But then that first day we ever had a public Elevation youth group, there was 35 kids from the community showed up, and they're coming on their bikes and their scooters and their skateboards, and we hadn't even advertised, so we don't even know where they're coming from. Maybe they smelled it's again, we have a gift of smell and cooking, so we cooked some burgers and the kids came. And it wasn't just fun to have just a lot of kids. There was a true sense, a true, true sense by all that God's presence was there at work in the leaders, in the kids, in the community, and over. Just a couple months later, over 30 of those kids from that initial group gave their life to Christ and made that public declaration of their trust in Jesus through baptism. And there was just a glow a glow in them, in us, in the church, as we saw. It was like, wow, we didn't plan this. We didn't expect it. This is God's presence among us. And then the youth really kind of led the adults in that way. There was a time when there was more youth than adults that were coming to the church, and even on Sunday morning, and it was a beautiful thing. And they really, I believe, inspired us. And over the years, many adults have followed their example. They were the first ones to get baptized. And it was really a beautiful thing, I think, in God's kingdom, the upside-down way. The youth led the way. And over the years, though, to see the true miracle of many of you coming to faith in Christ and making that public declaration of baptism. And that's one of the most beautiful ways to see God's presence among us, salvation. So we thank God for that. Not too long after, can remember again with the youth how we unleashed them. We affectionately called them the Prayer Ranas at the time. And we unleashed them upon various Canyon Lake activities, whether it be the Fiesta Days, big Memorial Day weekend bash, or there was some, I think, an Oktoberfest up in the Canyon Lake Town Center. But I remember multiple times with my own eyes seeing this little, seriously, they're like little piranhas, or like little, you know, what are those little insects that come in, the locusts, and just gone, and just kind of leave in their wake. So they would come and they would pray for these people, just go up to these strangers, you know, in public, and end up, you know, little groups of 5 or even 10, and how do you turn down these little kids? Like, hey, can we pray for you? But just seeing with my own eyes, you just kind of getting to step back and watch, let them do it, and just grown men just that are in public brought to tears because the healing love of God that is truly, genuinely flowing through these kids, as God's presence was clearly there. I remember one of our brothers, Eric, when he had this dream, and this was all just kind of brand new, a prophetic dream about a friend at another church in a wheelchair showing up to our church and that we would pray for him. And I remember just Eric kind of losing his mind, not being able to contain himself when that very same week that he had a dream about this friend from another church in a wheelchair coming, that friend, Mark, showed up that Sunday to our church. What do we do? Well, I don't know. What did the dream say? We prayed for him. Okay, well, that's a start. Let's see if he would let us pray for him. And just one of these most incredible experiences of God's presence in our life. And maybe the janitor got affected more than all. I remember his jaw kind of, you know, dropping to the floor as this man, Mark, stood up and got out of his wheelchair, ran around the church building, out into the courtyard of Paloma Valley Theater, ran around, and then in the most beautiful thing of all that brought tears to everybody watching, he and his wife danced for the first time ever in their marriage of 15 years. And God's presence overwhelmed us all. Or I can even think of our dear brother Pat right there, a morning where he shared that his body was just not doing well and full of pain, and brother Jason prayed for him, and Pat described how he had a beautiful encounter with the Holy Spirit like he never had up to that point in his life, where he just felt literally the Holy Spirit like a heat wave passing through his body from the top of his head through the tip of his toes and literally like pushing all the pain out. And the way he described it, it was like God pushed the pain out of his body and into the ground. And it was just this eruptive moment of, what is that? Is God allowed to do that? Like, what's going on? But just a beautiful expression of God's presence among us. And I know that many of you in this room have experienced that same type of thing, God's tangible presence in physical healing. I remember Chris Big Deal Breeding, coming to us for one of the first times, showing up at a missional community, and his knee was all messed up, which was a bad deal for him because he's a handyman and he needs to work. And a group of guys surrounded him in a home and prayed for him. And for just in a moment, him experiencing this complete healing of an issue he'd had for a long time, and it's just gone. And him just, who is this Jesus that is so powerful and personal and present? Or his wife with the very same situation, but she had chronic back pain. And then when a sister prayed for her, just boom, in a moment, what had been years was gone to never return. What is that? It's amazing, God's presence. Or I think of Alicia being prayed for lifelong condition of asthma and just prayed for and boom, gone. No asthma, no medication. God's presence clearly among us. Or I think of our sister Nancy, who has shared the story where she was alone reading scriptures, reading a scripture about God's healing, and as she read that scripture, her shoulder was miraculously healed right there by herself, just reading God's word. Or I think of some of the ones that are even a little bit more kind of weird and strange but fun. There was a woman who shared a testimony that she heard about God's healing presence and power and possibility through a church service. And that night, she woke up feeling like she was doing 100 crunches, but she wasn't doing anything. And as she went on to tell the story, she had had her stomach muscles had been kind of torn apart during pregnancy, spread apart, and it'd been a number of years, and they hadn't healed, and she could feel it, like touch her stomach, no stomach muscles. And the day after hearing about God's healing power and presence, she wakes up in the middle of the night, kind of involuntarily feeling her stomach doing crunches. Wouldn't that be great? Like, God, will I sleep tonight? Could I get 100 push-ups in, please? Like, this would be way better than, when I'm awake. But anyways, that's what she described. And then the next morning, she was going around. It was kind of weird. She was like, feel my stomach. I have stomach muscles for the first time in years. That was just a beautiful thing that God did. Or I can think of a couple who asked for prayer for their marriage right back there. And it was a nice prayer, but, nothing too fancy. Nothing about God's healing presence for our physical body. But afterwards, they both reported to me as they talked on the way home, and then she called me and said, this is so weird. We talked, and while you were praying, it didn't work for our marriage, but, no, just kidding. While you were praying for our marriage, we both experienced a physical healing in our body. And I loved that one because that was like, wow, that was just God's presence. We didn't even ask. It was just God's presence with us. I can look back with great gratitude to the Lord, how he's made his presence known through the hearing of his voice. He promised that his sheep would hear his voice. And I can truly, truly thank God that he has made that quite normal to many. And of course, there's always more to grow, and it never gets old. But it's amazing to hear so many stories, how all of us, as everyday followers of Christ, whether it's in personal devotion time or through journaling or through a time of prayer or through just having that radar on as his beloved child, that kind of God radar that, hey, he's with us in everything of life, in every day, in every moment, and having that radar on and hearing those stories from you guys where God has clearly spoken. He's given direction. He's given encouragement. He's given challenge. I mean, that is truly, I believe, one of the most beautiful things. As the world is desperate to hear God's voice, it's one of the most beautiful things to see God and God's beloved people hearing and learning to hear the voice of our good Heavenly Father. And that he has not left us as orphans, but he speaks. And building on that, God's presence has clearly been evident among us as he's growing our church family that not only knows how to hear his voice for ourselves, but is learning to hear his voice for other people. What the Bible calls a prophetic word, where God speaks good news into someone else's life through you. I mean, that is one of the most beautiful things, I think, for me personally, to be a part of, is to listen on behalf of someone else and feel like you kind of get swept up into the throne room of God to hear God's heart, to feel God's heart, to feel God's good news, his gracious good news for someone's life, and then be able to share that with them, deliver that to them, and then pray that for them. And to know that though that was not our background or our tradition, that is becoming more and more normal for this church family. Not in a way where it's forced or controlled or contrived, but it's just a genuine, I believe, move of God's presence among us. And the next step is out into the world around us more and more. The world is desperate, desperate to hear God's voice. So I believe we are growing into, by God's presence, one of those churches that's going to be able to be out there in the world and be able to speak the good news, as we believe that God is wanting to say specific things to each one of his precious creation out there in the world. And we can be conduits for that, to help people get connected with the good news of who God is and what he wants to say and do in their lives. Taking it outside the walls of the church. God's presence has also clearly been among us, and I give him praise for the financial provision. We give God glory for that. Churches like ours are not supposed to make it, and unfortunately, many of them don't. A small church plant with no denominational support or mother church funding, unfortunately, many have to close their doors after a few years. But God, but God has demonstrated his presence here through gracious provision, so that here we are 7 years later and going strong. And there's only been literally one time when we haven't been able to pay our bills. But that itself was a fun story. I remember the morning specifically because, praise God, in 7 years, there's only been one time when we looked at the financial printouts. It was like, oh, we can't pay our bills. So I remember that feeling distinctly. Thankfully, it's not very common. But I remember probably a Monday morning reading out the financials, and you got to pay the bills. And it's like, uh-oh, we owe about $2,000 more than we have. That's not good. What do you do? Well, we weren't sure what we were going to do, but I remember reading that little financial statement, and then the next step was, we're going to go over to my mom's house and talk with her about it. She's, if you don't know, she's the bookkeeper of our church, so God bless her soul. Her crown is the largest in heaven of anyone in here. I would have quit a long time ago if I had to do that. So I was going to go over to her house. Seriously, thank you, Mom. You're wonderful. Do a million things, but that's probably the most... That's the most stinky I was going to say. what are we going to do? I don't know. Let's go over there and at least come up with some kind of plan. And I remember distinctly, incredibly, from the time it was like reading that morning to the time, got to go talk and figure out what we're going to do. Between that very time, she got a phone call or an email, I don't remember which one it was, where someone felt compelled, the Lord had put on their heart, that they were to give an additional $5,000 to the church that day. That day! I mean, come on. Like, you can't make that stuff up. I'm serious. You can't just make it happen. I would if I could, but that's God's presence in a beautiful, clear way. God's presence has also been clearly demonstrated, clearly to me, demonstrated in the depth of relationship with our Lord Jesus through the dedication that I've seen in all of you, how you want to step outside the shackles of consumer Christianity and say, no, there's more to it. I want to choose a life of passionate devotion to Christ and his kingdom where God isn't a part of life, but rather all of life is about God. And that's a massive distinction, and in our culture, not something to be taken lightly. We are taught that God should, it's good as an American and a Christian, God's a part of life. And we say, that's not at all what it's about. We want to break out of the shackles of that and into this full-fledged, passionate devotion to Christ and his kingdom, where life is all about Christ. And I've watched that over and over in you guys, in the passion, in the devotion, in the commitment, in the willingness to go through all the trainings and the tools. God's presence is clearly working. And on that note, I think of the many of us, the many of you who, through following Christ, have sensed God's presence calling you to step out and serve in ways that you'd never done before or you didn't even think were possible. And simultaneously, you've watched yourself discover gifts and passions awakened in you that you didn't think you could do, and you've watched God grow skills and character to where you're becoming, we are all becoming, and are ministers of God's kingdom, to see God's kingdom advanced. And we know that each one of us plays a part in that, that there's no superstars in God's kingdom, but each one of his beloved children has been created to do good works that advance his kingdom. And many of you have done this by going on some type of mission or joining on God's mission, whether it's serving in the kids' crew upstairs, serving on the youth group. It's been a huge joy for me. I mean, seriously, one of the great joys of my life to watch people that think they're just going to volunteer for something, and then little do they know that God has had a big plan for them, that God sees them as a minister of the gospel, that God sees them as someone that he's created with gifts and passions. And so to see people step outside the box and grow in ways that they don't even recognize themselves, whether it's being able to preach and speak in front of a group of kids up there or out in the community, whether it's being able to lead a small group discussion about God and then enter into some serious prayer, whether it's being able to counsel kids who are in crisis. I mean, I think of our wonderful Marisol, who just smiles her way through life, and she's like the most gentle butterfly flying around, and then she joins youth group, and she like roars this fire of a holy lioness, and it's like, come on, get going, keep going, girl. It's just awesome. It's like, that is God's presence among us. And almost all of you have joined in on somewhere or another. We could go through the list of whether it's the homeless ministries that have been done, the trips to Africa, two now that have been taken. And for a small church, we've had the biggest group that's ever gone to that particular ministry in Africa. It's an active group of people you are that say, I want to get in on God's mission. And we all heard those testimonies from the transformed lives for those who went to the Breath of Heaven in Zambia. And almost all of us, all of you, have participated in one of our outreaches, whether it was service days or meals for the homeless or the treasure hunts or game booths for the kids out in the community. And it's happening. The idea that there are no superstars, but all of us are ministers. That is God's presence among us. I would say lastly, maybe just the power of prayer. What a surprise. What a wonderful surprise. God's presence clearly demonstrated through prayer. As I've shared before, I didn't see myself as a person of prayer. I just didn't get it, didn't understand it. It wasn't me. But man, now I'm a prayer junkie. I love it. How amazing it is it to be able to pray. And I know it's catching on and has caught on, where God's presence has demonstrated and been demonstrated among us clearly in becoming a people that love to pray, a church that loves to pray, not to just go through the motions because, oh my gosh, God might actually do something. That it's fun to pray because God shows himself in powerful ways, and that we can pray with expectation and with hope, because breakthroughs happen enough that it shocked us. It shocked me out of a complacency in that area to like, wow, I want to pray. That's God's presence among us. So as we celebrate today, those are just a few. And I know that I'm intentionally leaving out a bunch of stuff just from time's sake. But these are the types of things that we can look back in just a few of the stories just to remember God's goodness. What it's really all about, what it's always going to be about as a church is God's presence with us. Is God alive, active, powerful, personal, and present, and doing stuff? Because if he is, that's what life's about. And so that to me is just a great celebration of God, that he has been so gracious to be with us. And on the other hand, a different perspective, another perspective might be, some might feel like, as we gather to 7 years, some might feel it in small part or in large part, a perspective of, well, when's the really big stuff going to happen? How come we haven't yet seen a revival sweep through the church and out into the community where hundreds of lives, thousands of lives are touched? People come to Christ and salvation and transformation. When is that going to take place? How come more isn't happening or hasn't happened yet? And that's a fair question. That's an important question, especially because there are have been a number of I believe, very healthy and accurate prophetic words about this church, some from within you guys, some from outside sources, things like God is going to use this church to influence this valley in a mighty way. That's a good one. Or this place will be a catalyst for revival in the valley. Or that compared to what God is going to do, we haven't seen anything yet. And others like that. And I love all of those, and I believe in them, and I believe we should be holding on to those things. But there's also a picture in God's word that I feel, and I believe God's led me to, as an important illustration, if you will, that kind of helps to answer the questions that always in us, kind of in life in general, where we're like, why not more? Why not now? Why not yesterday? I'm ready for it to happen now. And kind of addresses that in a very healthy way. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 says this. Blessed is the man or the person who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Now, we all want to be this tree in life and as a church. I mean, this represents a fulfillment of many promises of God's goodness in life individually and as a church, that we would be a tree that never ceases to bear fruit. That's a cool picture right there. It's kind of the parallel from Psalm 1. A tree that prospers in whatever it does, never ceases to bear fruit, that we can remain green and fruitful even when the heat comes and even in a year of drought. I mean, that is a picture of a life that just is victorious. We can't control whether heat comes or drought comes. That's not our choice. That's the broken and fallen world we live in. We're all going to have heat and drought. But oh, to be that tree that in the middle of no matter what, heat or drought, they're not afraid of it. Their leaves are always green and they're always bearing fruit. That's the abundant life in Christ. And that is our future. But what it takes, according to this picture, is deep roots that have stretched out into the soil of God's goodness so that they're forever in contact with the water table below of God's presence. And what are those roots? According to the passage, trust. And trust, authentic trust, takes time to grow. You cannot microwave trust. So I believe, even though we have big dreams and that's healthy and based in God's word and God's promises, and we want those things to come to pass, The Lord is in no rush to take us to a place that we're not yet ready for. So I consider it a gift of His grace that, according to this picture, He's allowing us to build authentic trust that sends down deep roots into the soil of His goodness, into the water table of His presence, so that we're able to handle both the harvest and the battle as the tree grows. Another way to say all this is that in the grand scheme of things, 7 years as a church is just getting started. Churches that change the world in a healthy way have deep roots. We don't want to be like that seed that Jesus mentioned that is tossed out onto, you know, the path, and it sprouts up quickly, looks impressive quickly, but because of the lack of roots, when the challenges come, it's scorched and dies. We want to take that long view of life and church life that says, thank you, Lord, that you are preparing us in your way and in your time for the abundant goodness that is to come. And that you are so faithful to work in our lives in such a way that you're preparing us to be that healthy tree with healthy roots so that we can honor you as we represent you out into the world. And our job along the way is to simply be faithful with what you have put in front of us individually and collectively, be faithful to what God has given us to do. And from there, we entrust the results and the timing up to God. And so for me, both of those perspectives, whether it's on one end where you can clearly see, wow, God's presence is explosive at times and eruptive at times, and man, we would be fools not to just be full of joy. Or on another end where it's like that typical human, but not enough is happening yet. And then you get God's perspective of, but look below the surface to the roots that I want to grow in you for your long-term goodness. And I believe that that's a perspective we have taken and will take. And to me, both of those perspectives show God's victory. Both of those perspectives are a church that's walking in the goodness of the Lord, and that is kingdom victory. Because in contrast, the one thing that I would say, if we're looking at that spectrum, thank God, praise God, clearly we're not, is that one thing that Jesus said to avoid as a church, and that is get complacent. Get comfortable. Accept the status quo. Jesus said it like this in Revelation 3:5, where he's talking to the church at Laodicea, and he says, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either cold or hot. But because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. That's not us and will never be us. That's a declaration. Because that's shocking language. The one thing that makes Jesus want to vomit is a complacent church. A church that's just begun to go through the motions, accept the status quo. The same old, the lukewarm. Don't challenge me. I'm just kind of coasting through life till I punch my ticket to heaven. Blech, says Jesus. It's in the Bible. So as we celebrate today God's goodness and relish 7 years of God's abundance and preparation, let's let the Lord continue to light that fire in us that we're going to say, we are a people, we will never accept the status quo. We will never be a status quo Christianity church that has so much influence of the culture that it's just watered down and lukewarm. We will never be that. I mean, that's the enemy's goal for every church. That's his goal. So we have to fight against it. I'm not pointing the fingers to another church and saying we're not being them. I'm saying that's the enemy's goal for every single person who's a follower of Christ, is that this would happen. We would become lukewarm. And so we want to say we'll be a people this day and forever that's a kingdom-minded church that says until the day Jesus comes or we go home, there is always more. Paul said it like this, that we all, in 2 Corinthians 3, with unveiled face, God's lifted the veil by the Holy Spirit as we've trusted in Christ. That veil of confusion and ignorance is gone, and now we can see Jesus for who he is. And as we behold him on an ongoing basis, this is present continuous, not a one-time decision, but as we behold him on an ongoing basis, beholding the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image of Christ from one degree of glory to another. And my simple prayer and declaration is that that would always, always be the fire that's in our belly. That because the Lord Jesus is so good, he's so worth it, he's so worthy, The goodness of heaven permeating our life is truly the only abundant life possible. So that we would see our life as the primary thing we want to do is to get to know Jesus so that we can be transformed from one degree of glory to another. That we would never accept a status quo, never be okay with a lukewarm, I don't care it, I'm coasting, but with a holy fire and a childlike expectation, no, there's always more. No matter if I've been walking with the Lord 5 minutes or 50 years, there's always enough for God to blow my mind. There's always more where I can be transformed, and in fact, it's God's will, God's gracious will for my life and for our church family, for your life, for every individual, to say it's God's will that I continue to actually be transformed, not in theory, but in actuality, to be more like Jesus. That his character, his heart, his goodness would flow through us and out into the world. And may that good news always light a fire in the Elevation family. Let's pray and just give God thanks.
Sing a new song. I will sing a new song. I will dance a new dance.